Seed Ministry. We're endeavoring as a church to reach every home in Canada with the Gospel of John and a book of Romans put together. We have, in the last 7 years, put out 2,250,000 of those. And there are about 13 million homes in Canada. So we're slowly, you know, reaching the goal. And of course, we're getting new people all the time, about 250,000 immigrants coming to Canada every year. And we just passed over that mark, the 2,250,000. We had a group in West Virginia printing ministry as well that's going to donate 500,000 John and Romans to us this year that they're going to contribute to our cause. So that's really, really going to help us out. And then I just figured the other day that if we had $535,000, I just figured that out, $535,000 would let us pretty much cover all of Canada with the gospel. So if you know anybody that has $535,000... come in maybe this year, really be an answer to prayer, and I think really an obvious sign of God that you should support that ministry. Turn your Bibles. Psalm 137. We have some friends visiting with us this year. We always try to bring some folks with us if we can, and we found two people on the street that needed food and from Canada. Rob and Joan Hall are with us. Just raise your hands there real quick if you would, folks. These are dear friends of ours. Met them a number of years ago. We tried to get a church started in their town of Sarnia, Ontario. I drove back and forth from St. Thomas to Sarnia. It's about an hour drive for 2 years. And I have to sadly tell you that we could not find a pastor to take the group of 20 people that we had gathered together over that time. And so we had to disband that. We're praying about somebody maybe coming and working with some folks there. And these are dear folks that love the Lord. Their city is about 80,000 people. And there are some other churches there, but there's not a great, strong, independent Fundamental Baptist work there. And so we're praying that maybe the Lord would one day allow us to see a church planted there. So pray about that. Well, this Canada is a needy nation. We have about 300 independent Baptist churches for a country of 33 million people. And so you pray for us. The Bible Baptist Church is a great shining light, but we're trying to cover our little corner of the country there. We're trying to reach our nation, but you pray for us if you would. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll go to the Word of God. Father, thank you for this opportunity. What a privilege, what a great privilege to stand in this pulpit. Father, week after week, this church hears great messages from the Word of God. And Father, I feel inadequate tonight to stand here, but Father, you've called me, and I can consider this a great privilege, but a task at hand. And I pray, Lord, tonight that as we open your Word of God, that these words that come from your Word and from my mouth will be all of your words. And Father, that it would strike our hearts. And Father, we'd be moved to do something even greater for you tonight. Father, help us, we pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. I need to begin by saying this is not a message about drugs tonight. I'm going to give you my title and a message, but I want to prepare you. This is not about drugs. Neither is it about drinking or being drunk. I say that because my title will give some that indication, maybe more so in the generation of my generation and the generation that follows after me. Maybe for those who are a little bit older, it would maybe not mean the same thing, but I think we'll understand. I am enlisting a phrase that is often used today to describe those who are indeed drunk or high on drugs, but that's not what I'm going to preach about. The title of this evening's message is, What Happens When You Get Wasted? What happens when you get wasted? That is not uncommon today for someone to say that guy's wasted. He's done drugs. He's out of his mind. He's wasted. He's maybe wasted his life is another term that we would use to give understanding of someone who has wrecked their life or someone who has given themselves over to those things. Our title, as often as the case, comes from our text, the passage that records the cries of the Israelites as they suffer while in the captivity of the Babylonians, or modern-day Iraq. Look with me at Psalm 173 tonight, if you would, please. Psalm 137, I'm sorry, Psalm 137. I'm dyslexic. Psalm 137, I think I'm wasted. Psalm 137. Some of you don't think that's a far-fetched, do you? So, yeah. By the way, there was a guy here this morning. I didn't see him tonight. I don't know where he's at. Brother Steve, you remember that guy that was standing in the back tonight? He says, hey, are you preaching tonight? I said, no, I don't think so. He said, well, good, I'll come then. Where is that guy? Is he man enough to put up his hand? He's probably not even here, the backslidden heathen. But yeah, some big guy. I was going to whip him out in the parking lot later. But since he's not here, if he is, I'm sorry. Psalm 137. I'm a Canadian. We're peaceful people. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us, not requested, required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? That's often the passage that preachers would preach from. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. There is another passage with one interpretation, but many applications. The interpretation is this: the children of Israel have been taken captive by the Babylonians, and they're now realizing that they're not going home. They're going to be there, been there for some time. And the joy of their hearts had slipped away. The excitement of home and the remembrance of home had brought pain more than joy. And their captors are saying, sing us one of your songs. Sing those songs that you sang when you first came. Sing those songs that you used to sing when we were scouting out your city. Sing those religious songs that you sang in your temple worship. And they said, we can't. We can't sing those songs anymore. It's too painful. It's too hurtful for us. But there's an application here tonight. In fact, there's two applications that I'm going to give to you tonight of this same passage. Some things that we can look at and apply to our own lives. The New Testament is definitely our book. That's the portion of the book that we use most often. But in the Old Testament, there are some great lessons to be learned. There's a great lesson here tonight that I think we better learn. The clearest of applications is that of a Christian that has become enslaved again to the things, expressly the sins of this world. Now, I'm not asking you to raise your hand tonight, but if I was to ask how many of us tonight would have to raise our hands and say, there's been a time in my life where I foolishly went back to those old sins, those old paths that I used to run in. I don't know too many Christians that after they get saved, after the first year or two, when that time of growth comes, when they've been discipled, and now, like a small child, we say, walk on your own. And they stumble and fall. And they go back to some of those things. They're not the spotlight at church anymore. There's nobody saying, oh, we're so proud of this young Christian. Look how good they're doing. And everybody's so happy. And man, everything's so exciting. And now they've come into the reality of Christianity and the everyday just plodding along walk. And the devil comes. Oh, how I hate him. Oh, how he tricks and deceives. And as that little lamb, that now growing sheep, is off by themselves a little more and maybe experiencing some of the hardships of life without someone who's coddling and holding them, they turn back sometimes to the sins of this life. Sometimes it's not the young, is it? Sometimes it's the teenager who says, you know what, I've grown up in this church and this preacher's preached to me and told me I can't do this and I can't do that and I'm sick of it and I want to go out and I want to experience the world and I'm going to run to the world. Wow. Or maybe it's the older saint who says, you know what? I've been just caught in a rut doing the same thing for 20 or 30 or 40 years. And man, I look at my friends and they go to those other things and they do those other things. And man, I'm just down because I don't have the joy of the Lord in my life. And so they run to those old sinful things. It happens to us. And I'll not ask you to raise your hand tonight because I know that probably 99.9%, if not 100% of us would have to say there are times when knowing what sin is, we go back to that sin and enslave ourselves to that sin. How many times do we come to the altar and get on our knees and say, oh God, I come again to get forgiveness of sin. I confess it and I want to turn from it, but we keep going back to those things. Tonight, I believe this is a great picture of those Christians who get enslaved, who get wasted by the sins of life and what happens in them. Too many of us have sat down and wept by the rivers of Babylon, haven't we? Babylon is a picture of the world and of sin, of captivity. And we've gotten our Christian lives and we've done so well, and then we go back to that captivity of Babylon and we sit down and we say, what have I done? I was living the Christian life and things were going so good. How many men have had to come to the pastor and say, Pastor, I'm a Christian, but I've had an affair. You've been in this church for years, church member. Why would you do that? I don't know. I got drawn away. And they weep. Or how many come to the pastor's office and say, Pastor, our young people are running in the things of the world. And they weep. How many a pastor, sadly, has had to stand in the pulpit and say, I've got to leave the ministry. I've got to leave this church. I've got to leave in shame. Why? Because they went down to the rivers of Babylon. They were enslaved to it again. Too many of us have wept when we remembered Zion, that pure Christianity time. Maybe tonight it's not even the great enslavement of the things of the world. It's not the drugs and the alcohol and the pornography and the adultery and all those things. Maybe it's just that we once were so on fire for God. We were so stirred in the things of God. We were so ambitious in the things of God. And now we sit over here in the rivers of Babylon where we're simply enslaved to do nothing. And we watch the rest of Christianity go on and say, oh man, I remember when I was a Sunday school teacher. I remember when I had that bus route. I remember when I was a soul winner. I remember when week after week I brought people down the aisles of that church and they got saved. And I don't remember those days like I used to. We weep by the rivers of Babylon when we remember Zion, those heavenly things. For those of you who are contemplating the move to Babylon, for those of you who are looking with anticipation to Babylon, for those of you who are playing with the fires of Babylon, oh, that you might see clearly what happens when you get wasted. I want to show you, first of all, tonight that you will hang your harp when you get wasted. You'll hang your harp when you get wasted. These harps were used in the temple services by the Levites, who seemed to be the persons here speaking, who took care of them and preserved them from the plunder of the enemy. They hid them away or somehow said, please, just let us keep these. You've destroyed everything else. Let us just keep these little things to make some merriment in our hearts. And he said, we took those harps and we put them away. They carried them from Israel to Babylon in hopes of returning with them to use them as before, or to solace themselves and others in captivity. Maybe like the cowboy at night sits around the campfire playing the harmonica or the guitar just to maybe squelch some of the silence of the night. Maybe just to draw some memories back of home while they're long away. They would sit around the campfires at night and they'd play their harps and they'd sing the songs, maybe like the church songs that we just sang tonight. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Isn't it amazing? Isn't that the greatest song? I'll tell you, there's so many great songs. We can't label one, but everybody loves Amazing Grace. I've never heard anybody say, don't sing that song. You can sing any song you want. Don't sing it. Now, even the world loves it. They sing it in bars. They sing it in worldly concerts. Amazing Grace. The world loves that song, but not like a Christian. Maybe there's been a time when you've been sitting in your home and, man, you just are broken and that song comes on the television. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved an old wretch like me. And the tears begin to stream down your face. They would sit around and they'd sing those songs, those temple songs, the worship of God, and the people would weep tears of joy to think, oh, of home, of home, of home, of the worship of God. Maybe it would help to pick them up a little bit and think, maybe tomorrow we'll go home, maybe tomorrow we'll be restored. Now, they had no heart to make use of them. Their sorrow was so great and therefore hung them upon the willows as useless things. These were most likely the willows we call weeping willows, with their long flowing branches. bending toward the ground as one with heavy head. There is no joy in captivity. No joy. Now, the closest thing that we have today would be prison to understand that type of captivity. Now, I've never been to prison. I don't plan on going to prison. I wouldn't want to go to prison. I have an empathy maybe for those who have to go to prison. If they've done the crime, they should do the time. I believe that. When you think of that confine, you think of that tiny little space, and a man, all of his privileges are taken away, and women, their privileges are taken away. And they're told when to get up and when to go to bed and what to eat and how much to eat. And they're often shackled and they're surrounded by the deviance of this world. Can you imagine being in prison tonight? There's no joy in prison. There's hatred and there's malice and there's deceit and there's wickedness in that place. And here these people are in that captivity, and there are some, even in Christianity, that think the things of this world, the things of this Babylon, have a joy to them. There might be some people think, well, it wouldn't be so bad to be in prison. You know, they have color TVs in prison, and they get a meal every day in prison, and they get a wardrobe in prison. Well, there's a lot more to it, isn't there? Just like the world. Oh, the world looks attractive. Oh, I'm going to be honest with you, young people here tonight, I'm telling you, it looks attractive. There are some fun things. They've got entertainments. They've got all things. And as Christian young people, sometimes you look at Christianity, and think, well, I've got to wear what my parents say. I've got to wear what the school says. I've got to dress a certain way and talk a certain way. I don't want those things. I'd rather do what the world does. Because they seem to be having so much fun. You don't really see the world then, do you? There's little, if any, reason for merriment or song. And especially of those who go willingly into it. There are some of Christianity who willingly go back to the things of this world. I can't understand. Men who once were given to the bottle, who go back and think, oh, if I just had one more, if I could just get through this day, I'll drown my sorrow. They go back willingly. Or a young person who comes out of that old drug scene and goes back willingly. I can't imagine. We have a show, I don't know if you see it here in the States, we don't watch a lot, but talks about people that have given themselves over to drug and alcohol and other addictions, and they try to get the family together, and they try to intervene them and try to get them into a program. And, you know, a lot of times They'll get to a point, they'll say, I don't want to go, I'm not going to go, I don't want to go. And they finally talk them into going, and they take them off to a drug rehab center, and they get them cleaned up for a little bit. But you know the sad thing is, a lot of times at the end of the show, they'll tell you where that person is at now. And you know, so many times, that person goes home, and they go right back to the same thing. They get clean for 3 months or 4 months, and they go home, and within a few weeks, they fall off and right back at it. Willingly. And I think, man, they're dumb. They're dumb. They were clean and they were happy. You could see a difference in their lives. Things seemed to be better. And they went back to that. But how much more dumb is the Christian who's been saved by grace, who knows God as a loving Savior and has a church who loves them and has the great things of Christianity, and they go back to the world? Those who go back willingly only to find that they're truly alone. Here's something. Listen to me now. If you're saved tonight, you know Christ is your Savior. And you go back to that old unsaved world, it's a lonely place. You know why? Because you're different. You may not want to be, you might go back and put on the old garb and you might speak the old language. You know, Peter's an example of that. He sat around the campfire one night and a girl said, hey, you've been with Jesus. No, I haven't. Yes, you have. Blankety blank blank, I haven't. Didn't he? And they said, no, you're one of them Christians. Your speech betrayeth thee. And you're going to go back to the world, and they're going to say, hey, man, what are you doing back here? Ah, man, I gave up that church stuff. I'm not doing that. But you know what? You're changed. You're changed. There's a stamp upon you. God's taken possession of you, and the world knows it. They can sense it. Isn't it funny how you get around the world sometimes, and they'll let loose with a bad word? Oh, blah, blah, blah. And they'll say, oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. I'm sorry, Christian friend. Why are they apologizing to us? Hey? They know. And then this dirty joke comes up, and then, oh, sorry, fellas, I didn't know you were standing there. They know there's something different about the Christian. You go back, young people, to that world, and they'll say, hey, you're different than you used to be. And they won't welcome you the same. They won't feel comfortable around you. And then you feel bad because you feel so ostracized from church and you feel so far away from church because you've gone back and been tainted by the things of the world. And you'll come back and try to get around your Christian friends. And you, by your own doings, will feel that people are looking at you and they're mocking you and they're looking down at you. No, that's you. And you'll feel like you don't fit in a church, and you don't fit in school, or you don't fit in at work, and you don't fit in with your Christian friends, and man, you're going to be alone. Those who willingly go only find the so-called friends that called them quick become cruel taskmasters. And the songs of bygone days are of better days, of fond memory become almost too bitter to bear, knowing they're but a dream. You can't listen to the radio station from Landmark anymore. You can't go to 90.3 because you hear those songs and you think, oh man, I remember that time that group sang and we heard them. And I recognize the voice of that radio announcer. And I remember that service and I heard Dr. Carter's voice. And oh man, I can't listen to that anymore because it's too heart-wrenching to think that I'm not there. The Israelites reflecting on their own country became so filled with distress that they unstrung their harps with one consent and hung them on the willow trees. They keep asking us to play. They keep asking us to sing. We can't do it anymore. We've got to get out of this. So they tear the strings. They loosen them off and take them and hang them over the boughs of the trees. Sing us a song. We can't. We don't have our harps anymore. We can't do it. But man, we love to hear you guys sing those songs. We can't do it anymore. We can't do it. A demonstration of the heavy hearts of the captive, the wasted. Oh, how heavy the head of the saint, taken again in sin, sags before a holy God. How the heart hangs low when that same Christian thinks on the joy of the Lord, now lost. By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, yea, we wept. We wept. Could I say to you tonight, if you're enjoying the Christian life and you're enjoying the joy of the Lord, could I beg you tonight to stay the course and do not be caught up in the captivity of the things of Babylon. Don't wander over here and say, I wonder how good it would be. I wonder how fun it would be. Oh, remember those days with our old friends when we used to do those things. Don't even think on those things. Because Babylon's not that far away. When they remembered, and you will remember, backslidden saint, you remember Zion, heaven on earth. Zion was the city of God. Zion was Israel, but Zion is also a picture of heaven. And there'll be times in that sin, you'll think, oh man, I remember when we went to church, and I remember when the preacher preached, and I remember when I went forward, and I remember those things, and I don't want to remember them anymore, so I'm going to take my jacket off, and I'm going to give it away to Goodwill, and I'm going to get rid of my Bible, because I don't want it around anymore, because every time I see it, I think of how the preacher preached. Don't leave the Word of God, and I'm going to get rid of those other things that remind me of that great church and those great times, because I don't want to be reminded anymore. And there'll be a time when you'll weep and think, oh, if I could only go back. But I'm wasted. I preach a lot to young people, and I've had some great, great experiences with young people. I love young people. They're awesome. And I preached one time, and I preached hard about young people keeping themselves. Stay chaste. Stay a virgin. Keep yourself. Don't give yourself away, young people, both men and women, both. And I preached one time to these girls. They give themselves away, and they become wasted. And this little girl came up to me. She said, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I gave myself away. And God can't use me anymore. And I'm no good to God anymore. And I said, no, that's not true. I said, I want to tell you another story about God. God's in the restoration business. You have an accident with a car, man. You can mess it up pretty bad. Do we have any body men, auto body men here tonight? Anybody that does that auto restoration and that stuff? Any of you guys restore an old car? Anybody like that tonight? Those guys are incredible. Those guys are artists. There are some guys that are better than others. You can pay a lot of money for it. I'd love one day to have a 57 Chevy preacher. That'd be, woo! Now that's a car, buddy, right there. You can have your new little Toyota, meep, meep. You can have that. I want some. Man. And I'm going to have the sin of pride. I'll tell you right now, if I ever get one, I'm going to shine it up real good and drive down the street. Those Oddibody men, you wreck a car, they can take that thing and they can bang it out and put stuff on it and buff it up. Man, you never know it was an accident. God's in the restoration business. You might sit by the river of Babylon and say, oh, I've given myself away. I've ruined my life. I can never serve God. God will never use me. That's not true. Israel, I'll jump to the end here a little bit. Israel did go home one day. And Israel was restored one day, but there were some dents. Some bruises, some hurt. I want to tell you this. You sin, there's going to be some scratches. There's going to be some dents. But God will work with you on that. And God will help you through that. And you can be restored to those things when you come back to Zion. We think of our heavenly home, Zion, that wonderful place that we all look forward to going to. A little bit of heaven on earth is right here tonight, this church. You think about it. What's heaven going to be? A chorus of people singing anthem and praise to a holy God. Yeah. Brother Cruz, great singing tonight. Where'd he go? Where'd Brother Cruz go? Where he at? Where he at? There he is. Is your hair a little whiter than the last time I was here? I think he's got you beat. The silver fox, ladies and gentlemen. Ole. Brother Cruz, I'm going to get you to come to Canada and sing something. That was great singing tonight. I just happen to think the Lord's going to say, now for our next special. And some of those folks that God's blessed on this earth, maybe, you know, in heaven, we'll all be in that perfect glorified body. We can all sing. Even somebody will get up and sing, now I want to sing a song that touched my heart on earth. And they'll sing to the glory of God, and anthems of people will join it. Can you imagine the hallelujah chorus when we get to heaven? And he shall reign. Oh, man. And everybody's singing it. And everybody's praising God. And everybody's glorified. And no more sin or sickness or death or hell or none of that. Oh, we all sing to the glory of God. So why aren't you singing in church? Well, I don't have a very good voice. God said, make a joyful noise, man. Put it out there. Squeak for Jesus. Amen. Man, the saints will be gathered around, and we'll see each other. Man, we'll shake hands. Good to see you. It's been a long time. Hey, Richie! How you doing, buddy? Did you miss me? Nah. Oh, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. Hey, Peter! Is that you? Moses? David? Jesus? Isn't that why we came here tonight? To see Jesus? Amen. Isn't that why we came? Pick up on a Sunday night, come to church at 7 o'clock? Hey, man, we came to see Jesus tonight. Hey, let's just sit down and look at Jesus for a little bit. We sing his praise, and then we open the Word of God. Now, I believe God's going to open that Word to us. Can you imagine hearing God give us his own Word from his own mouth? Hey, man, that's a little bit of heaven. This is a little bit of heaven. And some of you are sitting on the rivers of Babylon. When you ought to be on Zion's side. Some of you tonight are thinking, you know what, I don't know if I'm going to go back to church, and I don't know if I'm going to serve the Lord, and I can't wait till I get out of this house and do my own thing, and I'm going to leave my wife and kids and do my own thing. I'm telling you what, you're crazy. You're wasted is what you are. And some of you tonight have already enslaved yourself. You've gone back to the things of the world, but you've got enough pride that you put on the suit or you put on the dress and you carry the Bible in and you come and sit and listen to the Word of God, and the Word of God eats away at your heart, but you've got enough pride you won't go forward and you won't get right. You'd rather sit by the river of Babylon. You'll hang your harps when you get wasted. The wasted, said Adam Clark, the commentator. Through the prevalence of corruption, the force of temptation, and the snares of the world are brought into a kind of captivity to the law of sin and death, though not willingly, nor is it pleasing to them when sensible of it, who though they are called out of the world, are not of it, yet sometimes are so overcome with it and immersed in the things of it, that they are as it were in Babylon. And how you will long to be back, but captivity will keep you. You will hang your harp when you're wasted by the world of sin. The second thing is, you will rue the requests of the ruler when you are wasted. Verse 3 says, they that carried us away captive required of us a song. As I said, it's not a request. Hey, how about sing us a song? They said, sing us a song. Sing those songs to us that you sang before. Play those harps that you played before. Let's try and visualize this, shall we? Let's put ourselves in that light tonight. Here it is. Number one, you've been forced from your home. Someone has come in and taken you away from your home. I need a volunteer tonight. I need help tonight. Young man, would you help me tonight? Come on up here. Is this your mom and dad here? Is this your family? Is your family here tonight?
Yes, sir.
Okay, sit down. I don't want you. I need someone who's not homeless tonight, like this young man. No, I'm kidding. Would you help me? Come here, sweetheart. This is your daddy, is that right? Okay, come on up here, would you? All right, is this your mommy here?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, come here, you little brat. What's your name?
Brianna,
you're working for me now.
Okay.
Okay. You will call me Your Highness.
Okay, Your Highness.
How can anybody take this kid captive? Say goodbye to your parents. Goodbye, Daddy. Goodbye, Mummy. Goodbye, sisters. Is this your brother?
No.
Okay, don't say goodbye to him. Good riddance. Come on, Brianna, you're coming with me. You're gonna come live in Canada. Oh, have you ever been to Canada? It's cold. Oh, snow. Last year, we had one of the hardest winters we've had. We had over 100 inches of snow. She's like this. Yeah, that's what we said, too. That's a lot of snow. Guess who's gonna shovel all that snow? And it's heavy. You are. Yeah. And my car is cold in the morning. So you're going to go out and you're going to scrape all the ice off the windshield. And you're going to start the car. And it's going to be cold. And then I'm going to want some to eat. And you're going to wash my clothes. And my feet are stinky. And you're going to wash them at night. What do you think of that, Brian?
I can try.
I am going to take her home. She's way better than my kids. Come on over here. You're not going to see your family anymore. That's it. Yeah, that'd be sad, wouldn't it? Probably love your mom and dad, don't you? A lot? It's over. Yeah, it's over. No, you're never going to see them again. You're never going to hug them goodnight. You're never going to kiss them goodbye. You're never going to get another present. You don't want to go? Tough, you're going. Yeah, you'll never see him again. You'll never say their name again. If you do, I'll slap your mouth. Yeah, if you ever draw them a picture and I find, I'll tear it up and burn it, and I will spank you hard.
Okay, I won't do it.
You won't do it, will you? That's good, all right? You're going to learn some foreign things. Have you ever eaten poutine?
Uh-uh.
You're gonna. Do you know what poutine is?
No.
It's French fries with gravy and cheese on it. You won't like it. I'm going to take you up into northern Canada where they kill whales and they eat it. It's called muktuk. It's whale blubber. And you're going to eat it and you're going to like it. What's your favorite food?
I don't know.
You don't have a favorite pizza?
I don't like pizza.
You don't like pizza? Good. How about hamburgers?
Nope.
Well, then you're going to eat pizza and hamburgers every day. Kids and animals, never worked with them. Now, I flew here on an airplane, but you're not flying back. You're walking. It's a 24-hour drive. It's about a 900-year walk.
I'll try.
Yeah, she'll try. Now, I'm not going to take you all the way. I'm going to take you the same distance. The Israelites had to walk 551 miles. From Israel to Babylon. So we're going to walk for 551 miles. By the way, you got to carry me.
Uh-oh.
All right, go. All right. You getting tired yet?
Yeah,
that's right. You can be seated. Thank you very much. What a sweetie. That's a good girl. That whole time, did you hear? I'll try. I'm going to clone that kid. You get the picture? Mom and Dad, you don't have your kids. We're going to take them away from you, and we're going to hold them captive to make sure you work hard. And if you don't work hard, we're going to beat them kids. You're working just to survive. You're not getting paid. You're not working on your 401k. You're not taking care of the national debt. Brother Stephen talked about the octillions. I thought, he's getting pretty close to national debt up there somewhere. You're just working to survive, man. You're just working to get through this thing. And those who now hold you captive say, hey, sing us one of those Christian songs. Sing us one of those songs you sang when we first got together. Sing us, Brianna, one of those little cute little songs that you sang when you came. But now she's been there for 5 years or 10 years or 15 years or longer. She says, I don't hardly remember those songs anymore. We don't sing them here in this country. And we don't speak the same language. And we don't have the same customs. Oh, remember when you lived in Florida? I don't hardly remember Florida. I remember it used to get hot in summer. I remember that we used to take the oranges off the trees and they were so sweet. But that's all I remember. I don't even remember my mommy and daddy anymore. My sisters. I remember a little bit what they looked like. But I wouldn't know them now. And they're captive. And they want them to sing. I know how about Saved, Saved? Why don't you sing that song for us? I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I'm saved, saved. That'd be hard to sing in captivity. Why don't you quote us a little scripture? Set you up a little pulpit, preacher, the world says. Why don't you, churchgoer, why don't you here in our factory, why don't you just give us a little bit of that Christian stuff? Hey, young person in our public school here, why don't you preach for us a little bit? Preach her in the captivity of this world. Get to the family gathering, and they all gather around, and man, they're drinking and doing their thing, and then comes the mealtime. They say, let's see, who's going to bless the food? How about you, Brother Billy? Man, it's tough. You sit down by the rivers of Babylon, and this world begins to require of you. You go back to those old ways and they begin to mock that Christianity and mock that life that you used to live. Man, it's going to be hard. You won't be able to sing those songs. There won't be that joy. Fascinated by the difference of our songs, intrigued by the passion it brings, frightened a little by the moving of it upon our souls, the world will cry, sing for us, preach for us, tell us your Bible. And knowing it was nothing but sin that brought you to that place will cause you to rue the request of those that now rule over you. And then finally tonight, you'll be made to be merry when you are wasted. This world has no idea how to be happy, do they? No idea. They think if we build us a big amusement park and have some rides and a little mouse run around, everybody will be happy. I see more people coming out of there mad at their kids. I'm tired. People don't go there for their kids. Kids don't care. Fall asleep about an hour into the thing, you've wasted hundreds and hundreds of dollars. They think that's fun. Think about it. How often do you see unsaved people really happy unless they have a bottle or a glass in their hand? I'm so sick of this preaching stuff, preacher. Oh, my goodness. It is a curse. It's a curse on our nations. And Canada is even worse than the United States. I had a man in our church coming to me the other day. He said, Pastor, I'm brokenhearted. My son, who was raised in a Christian home, left our independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church and went over to another Baptist church that I'll take Baptist off their name because it's just a disgrace. They said to their 12-year-old daughter, 12 or 14-year-old daughter, you can have your first glass of wine this Christmas. That ought to be against the law. They start them, say, oh man, I'm playing hockey this year again, I'm playing an organized team, and I'm sitting in the dressing room with those guys, and a couple of the guys are talking about their sons who are in college, and they came home for Christmas, and the one dad says to the other dad, oh, so has your son been wasted the whole time he's been home? And he says, yeah, pretty much, but isn't that the way it's supposed to be? And I said, no. My son's never had a drink. He's never been drunk. He's never participated in that stuff. And I got a great kid who loves his mom and dad. Every now and then, we'll be sitting at home, and my son will pipe up, and he'll say, hey, mom and dad. I'll say, yeah, Nate. He'll say, love you. He's 19 years old, working a job. He came to me a couple weeks ago and said, Dad, I'm going to go back to Bible school. You want 1 year just to see what the Lord had for me. He came back and said, I don't know what the Lord wants for me. He came to me a couple weeks ago and said, Dad, I want to go back to Bible college. I believe God's called me to be a youth pastor. Woo, hallelujah. I didn't get together. And the guys in the dressing room said, hey, well, my son got wasted again this week. No, my son's going to Bible college. He's going to be a preacher of the word of God. Now that's happy, that's joy. This world's got to have a bottle in their hand or glass in their hand or holding some kind of narcotic or carcinogen, looking at or participating in some lewd or rude or crude activity or doing something indecent, immoral, or immodest. Is that really your idea, having fun? That you've got to have some kind of stimulant in your life to have a good time? Could I tell you tonight, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't go with the girls that do, amen? And I have a great time. I have a great time. I have had so many good things happen in my life. I said to our friends, we were driving today, I said, the Lord called me home today, I'd go home with no regret. I'd hate to leave my family. I'd hate the thought of leaving my wife, but I'll tell you what, I'd go home to be with Jesus and say, my life has been awesome. I've done things, I've seen things, I've gone places, all because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't regret one day of my life. Now that's fun. Do you really think they're happy? I mean, deep down, fulfilled. We did this, Pastor. We started a campaign in our church. Is there something missing? We're going to do some billboards. We're going to do some pamphlets. We're going to do a DVD. Is there something missing in your life? Do this for me. When you go out tonight, if you go tonight and get a bite to eat afterwards, ask the waitress, hey, can I ask you a question? Is your life completely fulfilled? Or does there just seem to be something missing? You know, I ask people that all the time, and the answer is, Yeah, there's something missing. I don't know what it is. And people will try drugs, they'll try alcohol, they'll try pornography, they'll try an affair, they'll try rebellion, they'll try all kinds of things. They'll try skydiving, a bungee jumping, a race car driving to try and find something to fill that joy of their lives. But he gave it up. You know salvation must be real if you gave up race car driving as much as he loves it. Gave it up for something better. The joy of the Lord, Zion. Our text tells us that the Babylonians required of the Jews mirth, make us happy. We want to see you glad. We want to see you rejoice. Is there nothing worse in this world than trying to be happy when you're not? Come on, sing us a song. You're the piano man. Come on, tell that joke. I don't want to tell the joke. Come on, man, be the life of the party. Come on, get out there and have a good time. Come on, party with us. And some of you young people, you leave your home and you'll go out with that world crowd and you'll hear the voice of your mother praying for you and you'll hear the words of your father, oh, please don't go down to Babylon. And you'll think, oh, man, I'll go down there and have me a good time. And the whole time you're there, you're thinking, oh, my mom and dad are going to be worried. My mom and dad are going to be so sad. My pastor's going to be so tore up. Our youth pastor will be devastated. If you ever knew I was doing this thing, you'll hear those things in your mind and they'll say, come on, have a good time. And you'll think, I can't. I'm in Babylon when I should be in Zion. Come on, fellas, be happy. This was an unreasonable, as it was insulting. How could they, who had reduced us to slavery and dragged us up in chains from our own beautiful land and privileges, expect us to sing sacred songs to please them who were enemies both to us and to our God? And how could those who wasted us expect mirth from people in captivity, deprived of all their possessions in the most object state of poverty and oppression? The answer comes back in verse 4. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You go ahead and run back like a dog to its vomit. You run to the waiting arms of the lost. You run to the booze crowd, the crackheads, the strip clubs, the school dances, and unsafe fun. You go ahead and go back there. You enslave yourselves. You get wasted. And you'll sit down by the rivers of Babylon. And you'll weep. Someday you'll wake up and think, oh, I've blown it. I had it made. I think a friend of mine who pastored in Canada for a number of years, had one of the greatest churches in Canada, got himself involved in some immorality and went and took his own life. He sat down by the rivers of Babylon, took his Bible and opened it up to In My Father's House in Many Mansions, and laid it out on his desk with an insurance policy. And he went home and he opened his Bible to the same passage and laid it out on his lap and took his own life right there. His family came home and had to experience all that. Why? Because he left Zion for a little bit and he enslaved himself to the things of this world and he wasted his life. And now he doesn't preach anymore because he's not with us. And his family grieves so. And his church grieves so. And our nation grieves so. And it'll be the same if you go down to Babylon. Young ladies tonight, young ladies here in the front, all beautiful young ladies, God bless you. Listen, I'm telling you tonight, you serve the Lord, you stay with the Lord. Young man tonight, this little guy, look at this little guy down here tonight. Buddy, what's your name? What's your name? What is it?
Elijah.
Elijah. Elijah, come here, Elijah. Come here. Come here, Elijah. Get ready. Elijah, you've been eating a little bit there, buddy.
Yeah.
You're fat. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Elijah, imagine it's this little guy. Elijah. Elijah. Oh, how sad if this little guy were to leave the things of this life and this world of Christianity. How sad. Go ahead, Elijah. How sad that little guy wasted away. How sad these girls wasted away. Say, I'm going to leave these things. I'm not going to come to church anymore. I'm going to do the things of this world. I'll tell you what. You'll devastate your parents. You'll devastate this church. You'll devastate that pastor. You'll devastate that youth pastor. You'll devastate those people that pick you up on a bus. You'll devastate those people that work with you. To go down to Babylon and hang your harps. We can't sing anymore. And have them say, "You come on, be happy." I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't sing. All I can do is remember those good times when I was serving the Lord. This passage is indeed a picture of the backslidden, but it's as well an emblem of this world, of the confusion of it. The name signifies Babylon, Babel, the Tower of Babel. That word means confusion. It's a picture of us, of the confusion of this world, the confusion of the things of sin. Now it confuses us and those tonight who are backsliding away from the things of God. Yes, that's a picture, but it's also a picture of this world who's saying, we see those Christians having a good time, and we see those Christians singing their songs, and we see those Christians having a good time without all the things that we need, and we want what they've got. Sing for us, Christian. Give us something to live for. So, Christian, tell us something to make our hearts merry again. And we have an obligation. The Israelites had an obligation. They didn't take it. They could have sung and said, we want to tell you about our great God. We want to tell you about our God that's going to deliver us. We want to tell you about the times that we worshiped on Almighty God. We want to tell you about a time when we served Him and the blessings of God were upon us. But we hang our heads tonight because we went after the rotten, stinking idols of this world that we heard about this morning. We went after those and we rejected our God. And here we are in Babylon. But we're going to go back to our God. And we're going to serve Him, and we're going to love Him, and we want you to come with us. Here they sit by the rivers of carnal pleasures, this world. Here they look from a saint, a new song, something of real substance. Here the world looks to the saint for some lasting joy. Here they look to the saint for an escape from a life that has no hope. By the rivers of confusion, we sat down. They made an abode. And then they wept. Psalm 1, 1 to 3 says this, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners,
nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Not to mope and say, it's over, I can't do anything. Not to say, life has ended. Christian, tonight, sitting by the rivers of Babylon, you've got yourself involved in sin, and you think there's no hope, there's no way out, God can't use me anymore. I want you to know tonight, you can get out of that river base, and you can quit sitting in your sorrow, and you can walk with the things of God, and you can get hold of the preacher and say, pray with me, preacher, pray with me and help me. You can get hold of some good godly men in church, say, hey, spend some time with me and help me. You can get some good godly ladies in this church to take you out and encourage you in the things of the Lord. And you know what? One day, that old captivity will be over. It'll be broken down, and you'll be on your way back to old Zion. You can come back and sit in that pew and sing those glorious songs to the praise of Jesus Christ, and they'll never be so sweet. And you can open the Word of God and read it for yourself and hear the man of God declare it from the Word of God and say, oh, it's so good to be back in Zion. How about tonight we begin the trek? How about tonight you pick up yourself from the rivers of Babylon? How about tonight you come to this old water crossing and cross over tonight into that promised land of God's sweet life? And leave that old sin behind. Say, I'm embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. Because every one of us tonight have had to do it sometime. You say, well, I'm just so broken tonight. Don't be so broken that you can't let God heal you. Maybe tonight you're not saved. How would you come tonight and say, I want that joy. I want that peace that you're talking about. You can find it right here tonight in Zion.